Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Of May 2024. Cinco de Scree, you just passed us. That happened over Sunday/Monday, the day that anyone surfing on the coattails of, I don't know, anybody much bigger to try to get domain authority or try to get, you know, sip under Google's radar with affiliate offers, you probably got burned or feel pretty burned. In fact, some pretty big names, including, like, you know, GoDaddy and Reuters got caught up in the in manual actions that were handed down the last couple of days. So that's passed and people are dealing with it. The core update ended 2 weeks ago, although we found out last week it ended. So that's over. The series of algorithm updates from September to this point, which included two different versions of the helpful content update and perhaps two wildly different definitions of what a helpful content update is, concluded. And we're moving into a major Google tech conference, Google I/O, which happens next week, with Google CEO and Google proxies, people like former chairman and CEO Eric Schmidt, setting expectations that might seem a little strange or uncomfortable to people in the search industry, contemplating ideas of Google not having blue links whatsoever, or not linking back to publishers, which incidentally got completely contradicted by another Google proxy who said that search generative experience results would link back to publishers. We'll see where that Googleosophy goes. And in fact, I think that's probably the best way to encompass a lot of the stuff that we're going to be talking about this week, Christine. Googleosophy. Google seems to be changing its way of thinking. What do you think?
A lot about all that stuff. Hey, people, I actually am here.
Oh, indeed. This is Jim Hedger. I've got the introductions. It's so interesting. Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls. Lots of thanks to our sponsor, Audience Key. But about Googleosophy, really, I want to jump right into this because we have a huge show, lots of stuff to cover. But the common theme in all of the Googly stories and a lot of the AI stories is a new way of thinking about the web and about information and about users and you know, man, a lot of it may well be speculative. Who knows, right? But what do you think?
I think what Eric Schmidt said, I'm just going to be honest, is dumb. It'll be a web without links. Well, the links go to websites. And guess what AI trains on? Websites. They don't have enough documents otherwise. And so you have to link to them because otherwise they won't exist. So I don't know. it's like they won't. I don't know. I just think the whole thing is kind of silly.
It's like, well, I am curious who's going to create new content in a linkless future. Because if there's no way to guarantee driving traffic to the content I'm creating, and there's no way I can somehow make a living creating that content, then I'm highly disincentivized to do it, eh? Like, highly disincentivized.
Or if someone comes up with a way to bring me that traffic, I'm very incentivized to block all the people that aren't giving me traffic from it, right? So it's like, I just think it's just a very it's a weird way of thinking, because like I watched an interview with Sundar about, you know, changing Google search, and the interview was actually very good. She's like, hey, you know, you're built on ad revenue. How is that going to work? And he didn't really have a direct answer for that. But my thought is AI needs extraordinary amounts of content to train on. It can't train on its own production because it makes it very bad very quickly. So it has to have new content. People don't write enough books. There's not like a massive book publishing campaign underway for them to train on, right? So they're running out of data sets already. We're what, a year and a half into this? They're running out of data sets. And then they're talking about putting these models together. I've seen Google's SGE experiments where 35 to 40% of all queries get 6,000 to 9,000 tall pixel window of information summarized basically from, I'm sorry, these are my words, but content they stole to train on. And now they're summarizing and taking the clicks on the website. So who's going to buy ads? What are the websites going to do with their traffic? Google can't it's an unsustainable model. You can't fund it and you can't train it if the websites go away. And their whole business model right now, Perplexity, ChatGPT, Google, Copilot's a little better because they're now making it non-intrusive, their SG. If you don't provide any traffic to the sites, they're not going to be there. So your whole model is built on something you're destroying as you're building it. And very quickly, like, I don't know about you, but most clients I know couldn't sustain a 20 to 30% loss of traffic. And you're talking probably 50 to 70% or more. Well, if they did this.
In an interview on NBC, Eric Schmidt, the former chairman, former CEO of Google, did seem to think that Google can pair paid advertising and AI results. He didn't explain how. But the massive bulge in his pants explained, I mean, the back of his pants, is where his wallet is. The massive bulge that suddenly formed in the back of his pants was witness to how much he believes in this. Also, a little cut on his face.
Well, also, though, he also sounds like someone, sorry, Eric Schmidt, like, I'm not a big fan, but he did do good things early on in Google.
What he really did was grounded Larry and Sergey provided a foundational business model to build AdWords on, or ad, you know, AdWords revenue on top of. He was the adult in the room, as everybody put it.
But here's the thing: like, who does he think is going to buy the ads?
Exactly who Google's catering to, the massive corporations, the people who can afford to be there. That's who's going to buy them.
But they're not going to buy them either. I was at a big company. This is
They'll buy them if Google drives if that's the way to drive traffic and they can take that traffic away from any competitor, absolutely they'll buy them.
I didn't finish what I was saying. I was at a big company, $1 billion, multi-billion-dollar company, 5 years ago. They were so tired of Google. They were the number one buyer of ads on Google, even outpaced Amazon the year before. They decided to pull all of their advertising, because they didn't like that Google was no longer reciprocating, that Google was becoming more difficult.
Did that change?
The ads. Okay. They just put it elsewhere. And it didn't hurt them one bit. Because
didn't
they
hurt Google one bit either. Google moved ahead as quickly as it has with its current plans.
It had to do a buyback this year. I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is, but that's one website. What I'm trying to say is this $1 billion, you're saying corporations. But this multi-billion dollar corporation was like, we don't want to pay Google anymore. We'll put the money elsewhere. They didn't hurt them at all.
Well, I mean, how many multi-billion dollar corporations have done that with Twitter recently? And Twitter is still operating in a what can widely be considered in a really abusive way. And I don't want to change the subject onto Twitter. But what I'm saying is, if there's an audience, there's a show. And people will sponsor that show.
But I'm saying that if you've taken all the organic traffic in Google from them because of the way you're now just answering, by the way, there's going to be lawsuits out the wazoo that they're going to be defending themselves against, because basically you didn't have authorization to use the content. Then you're
well,
going to
no, they did.
Content
if you put,
that,
if
no,
you
they
put,
did not.
If you're in Google's index, you've given them
no.
Basically,
we have not. No.
Okay. Good luck. I'm sorry.
France just won a 200. They just lost in France $250 million lawsuit for AI copyright infringement.
Indeed, with major publications and newspapers, not small webmasters.
Right, but just because it's served through Google doesn't mean they have a right to the content. That's not true. That's not a, not in the United States.
And again, in America, people have been making that argument about Google and their relationship with content. The
This is not the
Publishing
same as search.
Association had done that when Google went and scanned every book ever
This is,
published.
and they got in trouble for that, and they were told to
And
stop.
yeah, but
Yeah.
they still did
They did it
it.
before, but they did it when this, they do what a lot of companies do. There's a gray area in the law. Let's try to take advantage. Point is, taking the content and training on it, then regurgitating it and summarizing and not giving them a click is not the same as serving a website through a search result that
Oh,
feeds
I'm
into
no,
it.
no,
That's a library.
Christine, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the completely obvious. They're moving forward with this, whether we like it or not.
I'm just saying that the model is not sustainable, and I don't
Okay.
understand. No one's explained how it's sustainable. Also,
And
if
that's
you,
what I'm figuring may be coming on the 16th forward, because if it isn't, then I think Google's talking itself into a really, really difficult corner.
Oh, that's true. Also, the, oh, what was I gonna say? Oh, I forgot. Never mind. But the I don't think the model's sustainable. They haven't explained how it's sustainable, and they haven't explained how they're going to still serve websites, and websites aren't going anywhere in the near future. So they'll just find another place to go, right? They'll just start using other things like Bing's search model. They do the generative, they do Copilot through their apps. Remember, I suggested that that would be the better way for Google to go. Anyway, and they're doing very well, and their apps are using Copilot a lot, and like a significant amount, and it's not hurting people in Bing search because they're not taking Bing search traffic.
Yeah,
Right.
interestingly, we kind of have an expert on that coming on the show
We
next week.
do. We do. Yes, Fabrice. So, yeah,
Fabrice from
so
Bing will be coming on, and we're going to be asking him everything there is to ask
they
about Bing AI Copilot integration into search. Everything you can possibly ask, we're going there next week. But this is about Google. I mean, Google has been the 250,000-pound gorilla. Not just in the corner of the room, Google's dominated the room and smashed anybody who's tried to get into it with them.
Yes, that's why they're up for. Just mention real quick, they have a big case in the EU that opens up this week for monopolistic practices. It's a $9 billion lawsuit, so it's quite significant if they lose this one. The EU is not liking Google very much right now for those practices, or just what you're mentioning.
Well, yeah, Google's moved forward again with the, as you were alluding to, the gray area, exploiting the gray area in law, doing something and then apologizing for it later, if it bothers to apologize at all.
And by the way, this
But I
is the EU case isn't about search. It's about the Android mobile operating system, and it's a $5 billion fine if they lose. Oh, yeah.
Nice thing about the EU is that's actually real money.
Yeah.
Five billion is something you report on your balance sheet, not a rounding error.
Yes, it's true. Very true. Like the 250 million from France is, but that is the first case. I don't know that it's for sure the first case, but it's the first case I've heard where someone lost about to the copyright law. The others haven't been decided yet. So it's not like people won. They just haven't decided them. But the one in France is the first one where a company was fined for violating copyright law in that country for their AI training. And so I'm sure there'll be more to come. The EU tends to follow each other, not always, but mostly. So there will probably be more from the EU on that, more fines. And now they're going after them as a monopoly on their search side, and then also on the Android mobile side.
Okay, so on the 14th and 15th, Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, Google I/O 2024 is going to take place. I'm going to be attending it. Have you got your pass yet?
Pass. I think I just should log in.
Oh no! So go to your Google for dev your Google Developers account as quickly as you can. You
Okay.
need to go in through your Google, you need to get a pass through Google Developers.
Okay. I thought well, I'll check. I thought I usually just get access, but I have not checked. So thank you. I will do that.
Yeah, I could be wrong. I got my access about a month and a half ago. Put my little thing up on Facebook and got more than one question mark back in reply.
Nice.
Of those question marks was from you, by the way.
Question mark was from me?
Yeah. I put my little IO pass bug that Google says you want to share your experience with us on social media. And I'm like, yes, I'd love to share my experience with you, Google. And so I put it up on like Facebook and got a couple question marks back. So
I didn't know what
maybe
it was.
This is a new thing that people never had to do before. I don't know.
Maybe not, yeah. Because I know I've just signed in the pass, but maybe because I'm already signed into developer. Maybe I signed up for a pass and didn't realize it or something.
So anyway,
I will go while we're on the show right now. I will go check. No, I'm kidding.
If you don't got a pass, or any of y'all don't got a pass, get a pass.
Also,
it's a virtual conference. It's free, and it's gotten, honest to goodness, Google has to say something about their intentions and make it very clear where they're going, because this is a pivotal couple weeks in the business of search. Sometime this month, it's rumored that ChatGPT is going to introduce its own search engine.
Not rumored anymore. It's one of our stories this week. It has been confirmed that they're
I know they say they're going to do this. What's it going to be? Is it really going to be a search engine? Are we being teased along with the idea it's going to be a search engine, but it's going to be something that's slightly not a search engine, but it's so much like a search engine, we just had to call it that? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Apparently, we're like basically like Copilot, except without like, you know, all the Bing stuff. So it's basically going to be grounded searches that are going to be summarized. I'm calling these summarization engines. I want to know. I want you to know when that becomes a thing. I coined that term.
Well, okay. So am I looking at 10 summaries of?
No, one.
And so
with links.
Okay. Okay, great. If you give SEOs a way to drive traffic back to their sorry?
There's no driving traffic.
If there's a link back to the product that I'm trying to sell with a sentence or two, and somehow I can get that into the stream, and you tell me how, or give me guidance in how why should my sentence or link be seen out of that great carve up of words? I don't understand how that connection's made. So if ChatGPT can tell us how, they will have champions from one end of the earth to the other.
No.
That's the problem. No. Can they tell us how?
What they're going to do, if they do it like Microsoft, I read articles on what they said they're going to do today. Mm-hmm. So it's basically the same concept, not with the same names, not exactly the same, but similar. And that is like Bing has processes, Orchestrator and Prometheus. They go around and they like gather a bunch of documents not related to where you placed in search. And then it summarizes them all, and then it rewrites it into a summary. And then they put that in front of you. So there are some links, but if you get 10 paragraphs about what you were searching, are you really going to go to a link? Maybe 20% of the time or something.
Again, not 90, if not I 80, want to buy 90. Something, I'm going to a link.
Purchase is different. I'm not talking about purchasing. I don't know if they're due. I don't know that ChatGPT is even going to bother with purchasing. I'm just saying the general concept is that we're going to have this, and all the summarization engines work the same way. They trained. Now they know how to write stuff. Mm. So then they're going to have a co-process, and Google will be Google's search, and Bing it'll be Bing search. But they're not taking them in the way that they're ordered in search. So you could be number 100, number 200, number 5, number 2. When they've done studies on this, they may find like 20 or 30% come from the top 20. So it gathers what it thinks is most relevant to the document query, and then it summarizes it in front of you. But it's still a large language model, so it still could be very wrong. So the other thing to me is, though, this is where I think the big issue is. The training was bad, but the training didn't interfere with the business's ability to function. The summarizing, like they go pull 100 or 50 or 20, we don't know how many, and they summarize all that in front of you. Like right now, my SGE ones I'm getting are all like 9, 10 paragraphs. They're all 6,000 to 9,000 pixels. Nobody's regular person is reading 9,000 pixels worth of information and then clicking on the link. Well, not nobody, but you and I are geeky enough, we'll keep the deep dive. But most
Well,
people, they're going to go, I got enough information, I move on. So that's why it's never
well, hold it. If
getting never getting a clip.
someone's got enough information and then they just move on, then that search has accomplished its job. Let's just hope it's the
No.
right information.
No, that search has not accomplished its
It
job. You're going
absolutely
to differ
has.
there.
I didn't come to have my time wasted ferreting out information. I wanted information.
So the people that created the websites, who Google trained on in this case, and then they summarize all their
Well, yeah,
websites. Well, they
that
don't have to go to the
sucks for
website.
them, but that's not the user doesn't care about that. What we're
The
going to do in the
user
future
doesn't.
and how we're going to get new information, that's a very good question.
It's not a sustainable model.
It may
It's
not
not
be.
going to.
It doesn't seem to be, but I haven't heard their announcements yet.
Well, I watched Sundar's interview, so
Well,
basically,
indeed, I did too.
so I was saying the same thing. So, but I'm
They
just
have,
saying
as
that
I'm
these are.
saying, they got to say something next week because I can't see how this is going to happen. I can't see how new information is going to continue to be published. And in fact, I think it's going to be a lot like the music industry. And I'm really scared about this.
I actually think that we could take something from the music industry. So if I post something on Facebook that has more than 15 seconds of a song on it, they'll take it down, right? Unless I have permission, unless it's like from the original persons, right? So what if summarization engines are only allowed to publish like two paragraphs in a search engine? That's it.
Well,
Because they're not, it's
again,
not their content to use in the first place.
good luck proving it's your content. That's the
No.
problem. If it's
No,
just a
you're.
jumble, a statistical selection of words that are supposed to follow the next, and this is how it's supposed to make sense, good luck proving it's yours.
You can know on the training, it's a lot easier because they have data sets. So they have to. That's how OpenAI is, and New York Times. The New York Times actually proved
But here's
that
the
they
thing.
took their content.
I can read every book in the library and learn from every book on the library. What I'm not allowed to do is regurgitate the content
Right.
and claim it's my own.
Well, you're not allowed to
I can
regurgitate
regurgitate
content.
the content and source back to the author. Completely cool.
Yeah, that's
As
different.
long as
Yeah,
I
I mean,
source
none
back
of
to the
these are
author.
doing that. And by the way, in SGE, they've noticed that actually the links have been going away. That was this week. I couldn't find the story on it, unfortunately. I would have put it in the grid. But so the links have been going away in SGE in some cases. So they're not sourcing it directly to whoever's it is.
Well,
And
then
then,
this is the
although there's
thing.
another interesting part.
In large language models, I'm not sure it's possible to source it back to a specific
Ah,
place, and that's what
well,
I'm getting
please.
at. Good luck proving it's yours. Who's
Well, no, you don't have to prove it's yours. They
your
trained
quick
on it.
brown
You'll
fox
know.
jumped over the lazy dog is as good as the next person's.
They trained on it. So it's in their data set. So they trained on it. It's in their data set. They can't prove this came from that page, but the training
Well, and
did. And
that's the
that's what
whole
they're
point.
suing
You can
on the
throw
training.
anything you want into your data set. It's regurgitating it and republishing it. That's the line. You can train on anything you want. You can learn anything you want. That's
No, you can't.
legal. Yeah, you
No,
can.
it's not. It's not for a big company. That's why they just lost in France. That's why Getty's in court. That's why New York Times is in court.
No,
That's why
I
Lord of the
think.
Rings authors are in court. No, you can't train. You can't just train on something because it's there.
Well, again, Lord of the Ring author. It's pretty easy to with so much Lord of the Ring fanfic that they will have trained on. It's pretty easy for the Balrog to do a specific thing because that's what the Balrog has always done, and you can source that back to Tolkien quite easily.
But there's a difference in the Google search. See, Google doesn't use a true LLM, and I have to find where Ann Smarty sent me the patent. And the patent basically says, I've always said that I don't believe they use a true LLM because it doesn't follow the rules of LLMs. So they don't use a true LLM. They do rewrite things that they already have. They don't say what it is that they're rewriting, but they do. So you actually find copied content often in the SGE, which you won't find in like ChatGPT or Bing's Copilot because they're doing true LLMs. But I will look at the SGE and then I go down and click something, and I'm like, wait, didn't I just read those words? And I look and it's literally in the SGE. And so they directly copy from websites. So they may be changing that because that's a big legal issue for them because they're taking it without citing. But they do directly copy from websites. It's a little easier to prove. But if you know how to prompt the large language model, just like they did in the New York Times case, they're able to show that they directly copy content. So it's just you have to know how to get it out of it. So, but anyway, either way, I just don't think it's a sustainable model. We'll hear from Google next month what they're or next week what they're doing.
Indeed.
ChatGPT is going to probably launch something similar. I find it weird though what ChatGPT does because I thought that Sam Altman, when he launched this, like had a plan for ChatGPT. He doesn't appear to have a plan.
No, he just wants to build intelligence.
He just
He's
throws
really
in.
amused with the concept of building something smarter than him.
Well, it's like, but this isn't that. Building search isn't doing that.
No. Search is an application of what he's built. It does infinitely more than ferret information out.
Yeah, I
But
think that he doesn't know what to do with it. So he's like, we'll just try this. I have more money than God. We'll just try that.
AI is the Swiss Army knife of computing applications. It can do pretty much anything you want it to do.
Well,
Again,
large
questions on
language
its
language models
accuracy
cannot.
and on its sustainability, all
Can't,
that stuff
no,
are open questions.
it can't
But we're
analyze
from
anything.
where Sam Altman's sitting. Actually, yes, it can analyze, and it can analyze quite well, provided it's a very narrow set of outcomes that it could that it's analyzing for.
No, it doesn't
It
analyze.
can't
We'll
creatively
argue about that
analyze.
later. Can't analyze.
Okay.
The thing with the with these models is just that they also the academic research world, the leaders of these companies who talk on LinkedIn, great idea to follow them if you're interested in this stuff. They are not very gung-ho right now on LLMs. They are kind of souring on them. They don't know that they're fixable. They don't think it's great tech. Even Sam Altman came out last week and said that we would find ChatGPT 4 laughable.
Well, once ChatGPT 5 is introduced, ChatGPT 4 will be
Yeah.
considered laughable. But did you also hear the most salient thing he said?
No.
And I think it explains
Maybe.
why many of the CEOs are sort of taking a dimmer view to LLMs, yet trying to extract as much money out of them as possible. Sam Altman's like, look, it doesn't matter how much we spend. It's irrelevant what we spend. We're creating artificial intelligence. What we're doing is going to be so revolutionary that 20 years from now, nobody's going to care how much it cost. They're going to care that we did it. And that seems to be his attitude. And as we've said for the last almost 2 years now, this is absurdly and insanely expensive. Although Google has apparently figured out how to cut the cost of generated responses dramatically, it's still an absurdly expensive endeavor.
It
But
is.
even if the LLM model has reached the zenith, there's not a lot more we're going to be able to do with this. It's cost so much to get here that they're not letting it go easy. In
They're
fact,
not,
they're going to
but
scrape every penny they can possibly get out of it.
as we know from a story a couple weeks ago that they spent 50 billion just on chips and only made 5 billion. So it's not been very generative in the money area. And then also investment in it has slowed down. And if you look at the like I said, the researchers, they're just not very, they were all gung-ho at first, like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. Now they're all kind of like, it's kind of really broken. We kind of can't really fix it. We kind of don't know if we want to. Maybe we should move on. And even Sundar at the end of his interview, I don't know if you heard this part. She asked him what he's going to do. Can LLMs do what they need to do? And he's like, well, let's just say we probably need other technologies too. So
Oh,
I
indeed.
just don't, yeah, I just don't think the LLM thing next year is going to be like a story we have to talk about every week anymore.
You
We'll
know, the
see.
first thing that was put into orbit went beep, 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 and freaked the crap out of people. It was Sputnik. First thing went into orbit, human made into orbit, went beep, 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 and freaked the hell out of people. But it spurred a race that within a decade and a half had us walking on the moon.
True, but LLMs aren't, you're an AI, there's one, they're just machine
No,
learning.
they're just sort of circling the world, going beep, 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 freaking
Yeah.
the hell out of a lot of people.
No. But hey, we do know that Sam Altman might have found a way to make money from it.
Oh yeah? Oh well, I think you're really gonna have to ask for the special sauce on this one, but yeah, ChatGPT is going to responsibly, whatever that might mean, create porn. like it isn't already.
They're investigating if they can. They haven't
sure they are. I gotta go investigate, boss. Yeah. Excuse me for a minute.
And he found out the guy from Unstable, which is the funny name for Stable Diffusion. It's Unstable Diffusion. They generate 500,000 images a day, and I'm sure Sam Altman's like, 500,000 images a day. So he might have actually found somewhere he can make money on this project. And he does have the ability now to detect 98% of their own generated images in testing. So I don't know why they can't determine their images at 100%, but at least 98%. So they're going to start labeling their images that are produced. But yeah, interesting enough, he's going to get into porn. He said, "We are exploring," it's a quote from MSN, "we're exploring whether we can responsibly provide the ability to generate not safe for work content in age appropriate contexts through the API and ChatGPT." And that's in their model spec, which is their new rules they're trying to develop towards AI.
Well, they have a very, very, very serious very serious hill to climb there before planting their tent post up there somewhere.
Do you think he wants to get that bulge in the back of his pants?
Indeed, you can tell Sam's interested in this by the bulge in his pants, the back of it, you know, where his wallet's kept.
wasn't Unstable the one though, where they had to stop letting people just generate their own prompts? Was that the one?
I have no idea, but like,
it was so bad. The
AI porn is so far out of hand. It's that genie is so far out of the bottle. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going to happen in the future. It has to come down to if it leaks out onto the internet, whoever leaked it gets charged. But it's just, what do you think people are doing with all these AI credits?
Well, no, it's really hard to get it. I understand. I have not tried on some of the other things. So, you know, like Midjourney or DALL-E, those ones. But Unstable Diffusion is the one. And I do think it's that one because I think it's the only known porn image generator. And we found that it was the one where he said he had to like put in definite prompts because he couldn't protect it from people creating really weird stuff. Stuff that weirded him out. So
okay.
Anyway, yeah.
Speaking of stuff that weirds us out, this is a segue away from not safe for work content, although it might generate some not safe for work words. So if you're on public transit or something, just be ready. You might be blurting some stuff out any second now. And this is annoying, Christine. And please, please, please get me off this track if I'm wrong. But if I didn't miss my reading today, Google has used the term helpful content update for two completely different applications in the last 6 months. Am I incorrect about that?
Yeah, let's just go through real quick for everybody. So you started in the beginning, but we didn't say the most recent one. So the big thing they're calling the content, the core update, started with manual action spam, then spam brain, then the HCU, which has the full site-wide devaluation, which is the same one from September. Then they ran a core update, and then they added a core update with a new HCU, this new HCU being page level. And the most interesting thing, though,
so you see new.
The new one, HCU new, yeah. But if you had the HCU old with the site-wide devaluation, they didn't lift that off and then like start you with the new. So you would have think like they would have like lifted people off in the early part of the HCU and then like reapplied on at the page level with the core update HCU, but they did not. So
okay. So if you got hit with the original HCU, you're hit with the original HCU and you're over here in the I'm still screwed category.
Yes. Right? And here's the interesting thing though, right? It doesn't necessarily have to do with content.
But I wanted to get to that in a half second. Yes. Okay. It's just, what if you got hit with HC new, where it's a page level thing, not a site level thing? So you didn't get hit before, but in the most recent core update, you got hit with the HCU. Is that a different class of HCU hit?
It is. We don't really know what. I have a theory on this, but I'll just say it as a theory in a minute. But they're not telling us what the HCU inside the CU is at this point. They just says it's a bunch of different systems now, which is okay. So it might just be might just be the core update that's always had, like, didn't have a hardcore content component, but had a content component that they amped up maybe.
Okay, and now, just to really, really, really screw with people's brains, let's talk about the helpful content update, not necessarily being about content.
Yes, right? And I asked, and no one will answer me. I did text. I mean, I did tweet at John and Danny, like, hey, guys.
We've been doing this for 20-some-odd years. Like, what the?
Yeah. So
good
two
God,
things.
Guys!
One, it can take two updates for you to recover, which that's never been a thing before. Like, you could have fixed it, and it'll take two updates for you to recover after you fixed it. Which
oh,
is
fixed
never...
which? Are we talking old HCUs, page or site-wides?
I don't even know if people were hit by the new HCU. It was added, but I don't know if they were hit. I didn't hear people getting slammed at the
or
end.
Just new HCU, the Everflux sort of thing, where it's just always in flux in the
No, it's part of the core update. So
okay,
core
so that that's a real
updates.
Thing, and it was an event that happened.
Yeah, but it's like they're kind of divorcing it a little bit. Like, it's part of the core update, but not 100%. So John is saying that. John from John Mueller. Yes, sites can grow again after being affected by the HCU. Well, core update new. This isn't permanent. It can take a lot of work, time, and perhaps update cycles. But a different updated site will be different in search too. And then the person a little frustrated, like, I just have a simple question, like, you know, yes or no, can you recover at any time? And then it's because not all changes require another update cycle in practice. I'd assume that the stronger effects will require another update. Core updates can include many things. And then it goes on to talk about thresholds. And for example, a ranking formula plus some thresholds could be updated. The effect from the updated formulas are mostly ongoing. The changes to thresholds often require another update to adjust. So that's kind of like the core updates always work. Core update is all the core ranking signals. So they tweak them in between launches of the full core update. And so you can get a little bit of recovery at that time. I never heard of someone completely recovering, but John says it's possible. But the HCU is still kind of undefined.
Okay,
and
so.
But the other thing, as he said, is that it doesn't require content. So.
Okay, so SEOs, here's what you kind of have to do. In the way of diagnosing and trying to figure out what you're going to do about this, number one, figure out what you were actually hit by. If you were hit
so
by
important.
The original HCU, then you have a lot of reckoning to do from site structure to maybe even the purpose of the business. There's a lot of questions you need to ask yourself, and we can get to that in a few moments. If you're hit by a recent content-related algorithm shift or part of a core update, then it could well be like several pieces of content, a link profile Google's unhappy with, a site structure problem that you have, but it's recoverable when you figure it out, apparently.
So on the previous ones, I wrote an article about how to diagnose your core update issues, because core updates were applied to your money or your life sites. And that was applied at the query level, which is the only way Google knows if something is your money or your life, because they don't know if your site is, but they know that the query is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could find the root query and the pages that were associated with it, and you went down at that time significantly, not 10% or 20%, you know, 40, 50, 60, 80, and then you take those pages and then you analyze them through crawlers like Sitebulb and Screaming Frog, and you look for the issues. Now, in 90% of the cases, the issues have been severe technical issues that should have armed the site years ago, didn't for whatever reason, and were applied at that time. So, you know, one had like redirect loops on two entire folders of content, their main content. Remove the redirect loop, they came right back. Another was massive page load issues. We fixed those, they came right back. So, so sometimes it's content, but often it's something on the core update that's super technical. And big, like really big. Like, you would be like, how did it? Like, I'm looking at one right now, the people that have been on Twitter, they have 11,000 redirect loops. They should have been hit by that like years ago, not like now, because Google doesn't like redirect loops, right? But something about the core update causes the site to be like recrawled. And I think it's because they're trying to reduce the money they spend on resources.
Well, here's a weird question I have, and this might sound a bit snooty. I'm obsessive about stuff, and it's because I get paid to be. How do they not know? How do you not know you have 11,000 redirect loops? How do you
oh,
not
sure.
know that?
These are because these are just regular people have like a small site. Don't
Somebody
don't
had
know
to
these
make them.
A plugin did. You know.
Incredible. Truly incredible.
But they don't know because they don't hit the redirect loop, right? They just go to the page and it's just recycling to itself. So I don't see it. And Google should not
You
call
mean
an
they
index loop.
don't run their own site on it? Oh my
Right?
God.
Oh my gosh, not like us. But the thing about the redirect loops is Google doesn't like those. And generally, you will lose Google like indexing those pages because it doesn't want to deal with the redirect loop. But I think what is going on is just when they go to a core update, they want to reduce the amount of money they're spending and all these resources to crawl and index the web. So they go hardcore, they go through the entire site and they find everything that's technical and boom, 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 you'll fix it because your site is down. And then next time they don't have to deal with your problems. So sometimes it is content. You know, I have a site right now that has both content and technical, but it's 90% technical and 10% content. But the HCU, the last one that they put together with the core update, I didn't hear a lot of people getting hit the last 2 weeks of the rollout. So it could be that they applied it, but I don't know that they applied it that heavy. So I think that'll probably be the next time. And my theory is, and this is my theory, it could be totally wrong. They use machine learning in the HCU. It's the first ranking signal in the core that would have machine learning. And something went wrong in September. And so they ran it again in the beginning of this update. And then they changed it to one that's not site-wide because you're taking out sites and you don't know how to fix it. And you have to move it to something else because you don't know how to fix it. That's my guess. Because they're saying you need like two or three cycles to get recovery, even if you fixed everything. And that's never been a thing. So I have a feeling they're trying to retrain the machine learning on the first HCU. But I could be wrong. Probably wrong. Just theory.
Shifting gears a little bit, and we might be putting this one to Fabrice from Bing when he comes on next week. But you know, you can tell that Bing is gaining market share.
Huh.
They think the FCC's looking. Bing is testing, and I can't believe that I hadn't noticed this before, but they weren't doing this so much. Bing is testing a clear distinction between free and paid search results.
Yeah, which is funny. While Google continues to obscure there, it's being like, wait, no.
Well, there's a law about this, you see.
Yes,
you kind of got to point
this
out because it's the law. And so you know how Bing is like getting more market share? Someone from the FCC called them up and said, hey, you jokers, get on this. Anyway, good for you guys. You got caught.
Yes.
Somebody was looking.
either that or they're going to care more about search now, so they want to not get big old fines.
I suspect that as we're moving into an era where, and I have no idea how advertising is going to be delivered in conjunction with AI-generated results, and given that we have to sign in for anything that involving Microsoft these days, I'm terrified of advertising being linked to AI generated results. But we'll see what happens. But I got a feeling that it's more involving that than it is them wanting to do the right thing. Yeah.
True, true, true.
I don't mean to be like, I honestly don't want to be that cynical. I don't mean to be, but.
Oh, you know, we're Gen X. We've lived long enough to know you got to be a little cynical in life. Not, don't let it take over, but. Got to take a little view from the cynical side.
Okay,
because
here's
if you
a little cynical side. Observant Google users will have noticed the number of associated websites has the results count has seemingly disappeared from Google search results.
Aha, but it has not.
It hasn't entirely, but why would Google drop that reference to 15 million websites relate to red balloons? Why would they do that? First of all, Christine, how do you find that information?
It's under the tools section now. It's you've got to go into there to see the number of sites.
So just underneath the little the query box, there's a little teeny word.
All the way to the right.
Four letter word.
All the way to the right.
With an S, tools.
Yes, tools. And you click it and it's under there. But it's like, why? Like, was it cluttering up your, because you have such clean pages these days, to have the little gray number underneath the search bar?
No,
but,
if it's yeah. if they're moving towards generative search results, they really don't want you to understand that they summarized 14 million pages into six paragraphs.
They wouldn't do,
especially
be
when
pages.
Those paragraphs tell you to drink your own urine. And I'm not kidding about the drink your own urine part.
No.
If you want to get past kidney stones, according to a piss poor result set that SGE created, apparently drinking your own urine is a way to pass kidney stones. And by the way, health alert, it's not.
Oh, and not just your own urine. Did you see how much?
So,
of
what, other people's
urine?
urine too?
No, it's like 2 quarts.
Well, sorry?
You have to drink 2 quarts of your own urine.
Well, I mean, like, you know, after a good Leafs game, it's pretty easy to get 2 quarts of urine.
Drink a lot of beer.
Problem is, there's no good Leafs games anymore.
Oh, gosh, yeah. So yes, so that's the thing, right? They have issues with being wrong, and apparently they were wrong a lot this week. There are other people in other groups that were posting things, but I couldn't get them to reproduce, so I didn't put them for the show. But the urine one was great. So if you have kidney stones and you get that result, do not drink 2 quarts of your own urine. That was very bad.
Yeah, and you know what? There is not 14 million some odd websites suggesting you do that. There's only a couple million websites suggesting you do that.
They're all SEOs who put it up after that came out.
Well, with affiliate links back to the beer companies, of course.
Exactly. And if you haven't seen the article on Search Engine Roundtable, this is by Barry Schwartz about Google SGE says drink urine to pass kidney stones. His image is a thing of beauty.
I have not seen that yet.
Yeah, it's Google in yellow dripping something.
Oh, God.
It's awesome.
I really enjoy Barry's image generator.
Yes, he does a really good job with that.
So Nintendo has had it with Twixter. Nintendo's had it with X, with Elon Musk, with all the shenanigans going on over at 4chan. I mean Twixter. And it is no longer going to be integrating Twitter communications through the Switch. You can't game and diss via Switch anymore.
You can't add friends. You can't do anything with it. So if you go to Nintendo, they give you a recommendation if you still need to do that or want to do that, but they will not do it through their new whatever. I forgot the name. As you can tell, I'm a big gamer.
Well, again, through Switch, which is, you
through
know,
Twitch,
the...
That's right. I wanted to say Twitch, which I knew it wasn't. But...
And again, I think I'm actually really pleased about that decision. I'm four square against participation in Twitter personally, just because it's gone so far.
Oh, it has. I'm still there for SEO reasons and some others, but I agree. I don't pay for it, you know, so, but I still, there are reasons I'm there, but I agree. Anyone who wants to get off it, I totally understand.
Okay, so last week we told you that AI Overview was going to be renamed to AI Answers. Well, apparently somebody intelligent didn't like that, so they've reversed that decision, and it's AI Overview again. So you know.
You did it was like a week of meetings, 2 months of meetings.
Well, things are much faster now that it can think about itself, right?
There you go. It told it, don't name me this.
Google looked in the mirror and said, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. In case you were wondering, if we wanted to call this Webcology News and then publish a website called Webcology News, we'd be okay, although that would really stink because we actually own the domain webcology.com, so we're going to call it that. But
yeah.
If we wanted to call it Webcology News, that would be totally cool. Google wouldn't care. Google News wouldn't care. Google wouldn't care at all. And Google wouldn't care. Just for the record, nobody cares.
We don't know where this myth came from, but it was in Barry's Mythbusters this week.
Well, it's like, these things are worth mentioning because
SEOs
come up with all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Faith is a really wonderful and important thing. It's pushed human evolution and kept us from getting eaten by Balrogs in the depths of Mordor. Faith has really done all of that for us and more. It stopped us from being eaten by Gruus in the great darkness of life. But sometimes faith makes us come up with really, really crazy superstitious answers to things we just don't understand.
Yeah, my guess is because Google has automated the entry into the news section, which carries benefits with it. Maybe people were trying to put news in to like game it.
For years, people have made up stuff about Google because it fit their understanding of how the great mysterious Oz works. The great God Google works.
I've just usually heard of the myth. I had not heard of this one, so.
Oh, no, goodness gracious, Christine. I mean, you need a scorecard. You need a score book to keep up with myths these days. I mean, they're all over the place.
Right? Speaking of,
what now?
Well, and to help with myths, we have TikTok. OpenAI is going to label the DALL-E images. They're going to put it in a special file. They're working with Microsoft and Google. We've talked about this a while ago, and they kept saying they're going to launch it and really didn't. Supposedly, they're launching it now. But TikTok is now labeling AI-generated images if they're participating in that program. So if it's labeled by OpenAI or Google or Adobe or Microsoft, and it has that thing that says it's an AI-generated image, they will label it AI-generated in TikTok. So that to help, you know.
Well, you know, you said you're right. 98% of the time, they're able to identify if it is or isn't.
OpenAI can do only their images 98% of the time.
I guess that's the 2% that don't have hands get passed, huh?
So when they create the images, though, there's the pic file, and that will say that it has it in there, and they've been testing it against manipulation, like, you know, copying or editing, and they've found ways to maintain it, but it's still beatable. But if it comes out of one of those things and someone's like posting, you know, images they created on DALL-E, they won't see this, that it's AI generated when they produce it. But when it shows up somewhere else, if they're participating, it'll have it in the file and they will all label it as AI.
So how's TikTok going to figure it out?
By that pic file. The people in this one group, Meta.
Microsoft, got it. Okay.
Adobe, Google, all these people. So no, the bad actors they'll just pass off bad, you know, they'll create their own and they'll do bad stuff. But I do think it has a benefit in that if you keep seeing the AI images, over time, you know they're AI images when you see them 90% of the time. Like this is like AI text. I was looking at a client's text yesterday and at 25 seconds in, I go, did you guys write this with AI? Well, just we had some AI help. Because I've looked at so much AI text now, I'm like, I noted immediately.
Superlatively.
Yeah, exactly. If you use the word delve in AI, apparently that's a big indicator of AI text, the word delve, because it was trained in Kenya, and that's a common word there and not here. But I actually use delve. But
I was about to say, I use the word delve every once in a while. I mean, like, you can only say looking into in so many different ways, right?
But apparently that's a thing. That's
you try writing an 86-point report.
They used delve, and they did a lot of the training in the early AI. So the good news is OpenAI's new tool can detect images. DALL-E will be adding that they are AI. Then this whole pool of people, Microsoft, Meta, Adobe, Google, TikTok, Insta, all these, will anything that's generated with AI and is labeled in the pic file, they will label it as AI generated. That's good news.
So all the new OpenAI porn is going
would
to be.
Yes. Yeah, if they go that way, it definitely will. I don't know how their government contracts are going to work with porn. But we'll see.
I'm really curious, like, who the OnlyFans revenue goes to.
Well, see, they'll just train on all of them, and they'll just reproduce it, and then they won't have to worry about paying anybody like they did with, you know, content. Just a thought.
Okay, well, again, that gives a whole new meaning to snake eating its own tail.
Yeah, on the snake eating its tail, there were so many deals made this week by OpenAI, I didn't want to bother with trying to list them all. But they're making deals they're kind of bully-making deals. They're saying, hey, guys, we're still going to just train on your stuff.
So let us give you money now, or we're just going to do it anyway.
Exactly, that's pretty much what they told them. So people have done it, right? They've just signed up, I think, FT. The Financial Times out of India, I think, was one. So they're signing up, and they're not saying no, right? I mean, they can put the robots text and say don't train on our stuff, but they probably don't trust that they're going to follow it, but whatever. But apparently they made a big deal with Stack Overflow, and we know that a lot of people use ChatGPT for coding, which, by the way, be very careful, because we've done a bunch of stories on how bad actors are getting malicious code in there. And if you don't know how to code, don't do it. Stack Overflow made a deal with OpenAI to use Stack Overflow and get paid for it, as opposed to the first time when they just took all their content and they lost a lot of traffic because of that. There's a rebellion going on at Stack Overflow. And so people started editing their posts and deleting their stuff. And now, according to Stack Overflow, if you do that, you can lose your account, which just to me is just not a good way to do business. People don't tend to like to be threatened. So if they try to change what they put in there, or some are going to amplify existing bugs, they're going to try to make bad code because they're not on board with the fact that all their work is being used by a company to make money for another company to make money. So, and nobody paid them for any of it. So they had a rebellion, but now they're telling them if they do that, they'll have their account suspended or completely removed.
From what you've just said, and this is a tough one to suggest, but from what you've just said, developers can't trust anything they see at Stack Overflow anymore.
No, it's true to that.
It's kind of like using the Anarchist Cookbook. You know that those recipes have been changed.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know how big the rebellion is, but apparently quite a few enough members that the Stack Overflow people are concerned their deal with OpenAI would fall apart because of the bad info.
So. With two of the clients I'm working with, it is so important that these things not fail, that if there is a 1% chance that you could be using bunky code, you can't do it.
Yeah, very true.
I'm not kidding. Like it's dead serious, especially with this one client. If there's a failure on their site and it's an insanely complicated almost custom Volusion build, if something goes wrong, it's mission critical.
Sure, and they're open for a lot of companies, depending on what they create, can be open for lawsuits. And
can't even imagine what that would look like.
Exactly. So, by the way, just a reminder, if you don't know how to code, don't use ChatGPT to code except for yourself. Don't put it out somewhere where people can use it, because you then are legally responsible for it. And if you don't know how to code, you don't know if there's some malicious actor using you to transfer their bad stuff.
Well, and folks, you got to understand, if you are using AI for your writing, for your coding, for images, for whatever, you are the publisher. You need to take absolute responsibility for what you publish, what you put online, what you disseminate. And I think it's going to become a lot more important in the future as we move further and further away from the platform economy and more into an open information economy. Publishers are going to be, especially in a world where everything is suspect and fake, I think publishers are going to actually start being held a lot more accountable for what they choose to publish. And if you put out something that's bunky and you haven't edited it the hell out of it, just to be responsible, that may be the difference between success and failure on the web in the future.
Yeah, and if you're doing something with code and making it for yourself, you're trying to learn whatever, that's fine. You just don't create it. I've seen people in our industry create things on ChatGPT and like, oh, I'm going to put this in the app store. Like, no, you don't know how to code. You don't know what security issues you're unleashing by putting that in the app store. Do not do that. Because then you're legally responsible. You are, as a developer, legally responsible at that point. So there are laws about that. Like, content's a little different because free speech and all that, but there are laws around that. So before we go, I know we're running too close, but we got to do this one last story just because it's just too funny.
Go for it.
And a high note. The Reddit post that you sent me today.
That was very funny.
So apparently, GPT-4 was having all sorts of problems. So originally I thought this was G4, not GPT-4, but GPT-4. So apparently ChatGPT is not doing well this week. So they posted they want to start a GoFundMe for the tool so it actually works right.
Well, yeah, apparently ChatGPT-4 has been spitting out bad information and been moving molasses slow at times this week.
Yeah, apparently like up to 10 minutes before it gives an answer to a prompt. So yeah. I'm sure they will work it out, but I did think that was a pretty funny title. Yeah. Although originally I thought it was G4, not ChatGPT.
Before we go, we have to leave actually on a sad note, not a funny note. Last Thursday, After we left air, after we signed off recording, Mark Irvine, a search marketer, a PPC speaker, lecturer, somebody who's really, really well known on the conference circuit and in the search marketing industry, died unexpectedly. I don't know why. I do know that Mark was deeply loved and was a known as a great friend to a lot of people on the conference circuit, especially in the last few years. I never met Mark personally, but seeing the outpouring of emotion amongst my colleagues, he meant a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah, same here. I didn't know him personally, but same. I saw a lot of wonderful tributes to him. So yes, that is very sad. And for everybody who's feeling the loss this week, we're thinking about you.
Yeah. So with respect and sadness, rest in peace, Mark Irving. Okay, on that said note, we have to end it. We've gone full clock on Webcology here on WMR. this is recorded live to podcast on the 9th of May, 2024. Next week, we're going to be chock full of information coming off of Google I.O. And we have Fabrice from Bing in. It's going to be a really interesting show. Big love out to George and Stu Ricky in the studio. And thanks to Darren and Brandy in the front office. Huge love to Audience Key, our sponsor, and huge love to you, our audience. Till next week, rank well, be kind to each other, and again, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.